So again, for the second time tonight, we're not going to be sending it back to the station. Instead, we're going to be sending it back to us here at the game. So you really are getting this full game experience. Lucky for you, it's free. We're not going to be charging tonight, but maybe that's something we can start doing in the future, Jesse. Okay, 33-0 here in favor of the Grounds. They've come out on the road. We thought the game was going to be much closer than before, but I got to tell you, Jesse, watching HSC play ball, watching them on film, I just wasn't that sold on this whole, you know, they come in here 7-2. But I'm not sold on that record. And I think there is a big difference. It's kind of like when you see a team playing in the Horizon League, you know, a basketball team, NCAA, playing in the Horizon League, and they come in with an undefeated record or whatever, and then they play a 500 team who's been playing Big East or SEC ball, even for that matter, and you kind of come in, you look at them. It's kind of an even matchup. I think your conferences have some effects here. Mid conference for Carmel obviously has conditioned them very well tonight.
Lampe comes back out on a 2nd and 5 to start the fourth. Watkins will get it off the option. Heads upfield, takes a big shot. He's going to be close to the first down. They're going to mark him across there at the 26-yard line. That will stop the clock at 11:52 remaining. Carmel 12 minutes away from heading to the sectional championship. So coming in, checking in as the tailback will be Josh Abiquo. We've seen him a couple times throughout the year, one of WHJE's own. He's going to line up behind Lampe in a pistol formation, 3 wide set for him. Lampe will hand it right back to Abiquo. Abiquo heads upfield, a head full of steam. He's going to be brought down after being pushed out of bounds after a gain of 12. So Abiquo getting a couple carries, has himself a couple first downs.
Josh Abiquo was a very, very speedy back. And we like to see him a lot of times. He even plays defense sometimes. Of course, he plays that special teams every once in a while, but they're able to give him a few carries. And so obviously here, bringing John Lampe in, bringing a new running back. They've been cycling Tobias Watkins and now Josh Abiquo.
So same formation set now. Go right back to Abiquo, left tackle. Abiquo is going to be brought down close across the 10-yard line at about the 8. And that's going to bring up about a 2nd and 4. So very impressive running so far. I definitely like the speed from Abiquo so far in his first couple carries. So 11:20 remaining in the ballgame. Carmel still leading 33-0 and trying to tack on a few more. Carmel really starting to show off the depth chart. They're going to put a man in motion, Lampe from the pistol. 3 wide, 2 out to his right. Abiquo once again trying to finish what he started. Dives into the end zone, and Josh Abiquo has himself a touchdown, and it will be 39-0 Carmel. So great drive there, as we saw after the quarters. Roberts was able to pick up that first down. Watkins was able to start it with the running game, and Josh Abiquo coming in and finishing the job.
And defensively, you got to have your head down here, and it's tough to do. But not only can you not you can't stop the starters. You're talking about guys like Isaac James and obviously Shakir Pascal and Chris Perkins, but now you're having a tough time stopping the backups. You're having a tough time stopping the guys who normally don't get many calls on the field. You're having a tough time stopping John Lampe, who's running a rushing-style offense. We don't say that many times, but he's handing the ball off to guys like Josh Abiquo, who doesn't get a lot of carries, and Abiquo is making things happen. You're giving the ball to Tobias Watkins, a kid who doesn't see a lot of reps either. But the fact that you're able to cycle in some of these guys during a sectional ball game, that's got to speak to the level of playability that you've done so far in this game.
And that really just shows up on the scoreboard. 40-0 is your score, as Adam Kramer continues to be perfect on the evening on 5 different point after attempt occasions, and a 35-yard field goal. Very impressive indeed by the kicking game. Also had a very impressive punt, pinning HSC back at their own 4-yard line. So really one of those unsung heroes that we don't get to talk a lot about, but has really done his job and has done it well.
So 40-0 here in favor of the Greyhounds after that score by Josh Abiquo and the extra point there by Adam Kramer. And so Kramer here is going to be set to kick off again. Folks, in high school, the ball is placed at the 40-yard line of the kicking team. And, of course, if you know, if the ball goes into the end zone or if it's received in the end zone, there are no returns. So the only time you're ever going to see a kickoff return is if the ball is not kicked into the end zone. Again, another one of those new safety features that IHSAA has done such a good job of adding, again, with the heightened concussions and things like that. They're doing a much better job of being aware of those things. So here's the kickoff from Adam Kramer.
This one's up and away. Another booming kick from Kramer is going to sail into the end zone for that automatic touchback rule. I really do enjoy that rule there, John. Just all about the player's safety. You want to make sure that all these guys coming out here are going to play injury-free as much as they possibly can.
And I know kind of the debate, there's been a lot of debate on these new rules, and a lot of people say, well, you're taking the fun out of football, you're taking what football was out of the ball game. And if in reality, if you look at it, you're saying, well, we're actually keeping people safe. You know, I know, Jesse, you yourself have experienced a concussion, and it's not worth getting a big hit or getting a highlight on SportsCenter. I mean, these are things that you're going to keep a kid out of school for a good 2 months.
And Janie comes back out as the quarterback, keeps this one himself, trying to go up the middle, but is met by that linebacking core for a practice. Will get him to the 25-yard line, and it will be a 2nd and 5 on the way.
Gives a spotlight here to Sam Story. Again, 37 tackles. He leads tackles there for that linebacking core, but the guy right under him is Ryan Sondles. He's got 36. And then again, Mitch Lindgren is much more of a team player himself. He's only got 22, but he's got 10 assists. And he's really that guy who does a nice job of taking some of these big-time backs, some of these blockers out of the play to allow guys like Story and Sondles to make the actual tackle.
Janie goes back under center, 2nd and 5 from his own 25-yard line. He takes the snap. He's looking to pass. Has to get that one away. Gets it to his tailback, Hardy. Hardy breaks the tackle. Tries to dance to the outside. He's going to be wrapped up again by the linebacking core of the Carmel Greyhounds. And now it's going to bring up about a 3rd and 5 for Hamilton Southeastern. We can really just go on and on about this linebacking core, this veteran linebacking core. I think we need to stress Sam Story, Ryan Sondles. You also have to throw in the likes of Anthony Mazza. But give credit to the defensive line. They are the ones that open up the holes for those linebackers. You have guys like Sean Stetson, Vic Rowe, Kendall Hune. You also throw in Andrew Tin. Very impressive front seven, whoever's on the field for the Carmel Greyhounds. Janie goes back under center, this time off the left hash, 3rd and 3 from his own 27-yard line. Gives that one off to Hardy. Hardy's not going anywhere there as he's going to lose a couple of yards off that left tackle carry. And that's going to bring up 4th down for Hamilton Southeastern. And the clock continues to dwindle away in this ball game, 9:26 remaining.
Well, like you mentioned before, just the senior leadership on the defense. If you look at it, Sean Stetson, a senior, Joe Scott, a senior, Nick Sonara, senior, Vic Rowe, Andrew Tenn, Ryan Sondles, Wade Murdoch, Brandon Todd, Sam Story, Mitch Lindgren, Anthony Mazza. You're talking guys even the likes of Zach Woods, Jim Soderstrom. We lost him to an injury. Mitch Davis, Riley Smith, Jack Conway. We can go on and on. The depth is just incredible to this team, and they've got a ton of seniors who have stepped up so far this season.
And this punt is up and away from Southeastern. That one's going to be taken by Baldridge. He's going to try to return this one. It takes a dive forward at about the 44-yard line. So good field position for Carmel to start this drive. We'll see who comes out and plays quarterback here with a 40-point lead. And we haven't seen John Lampe too much tonight, except for a couple different occasions. Really hasn't had the opportunity to pass so far, but Carmel does not want to run up the score here in this ball game. But you know as well as I do the value of the game rep. So let's see who comes out to play quarterback. And it looks like we're going to see the sophomore, Michael Vickdrup, make his IHSAA tournament debut. And the sophomore, Vickdrup, is going to get some very valuable game reps here. Considered to be the quarterback of the future as he keeps this one off the left tackle. He heads upfield, a head full of steam, able to hold on to the football there, trying to strip that one away, but a gain of 8 yards, and Vickdrup is starting to show us what he's made of.
And Jesse, you know I am a huge fan of Michael
Vickdrup.
You're
a big fan.
And you can see the smile beaming right here. I love Michael Vickdrup. He's such a great guy, and I'll better shut up before I go on and on about him. But already right there, again, a 2nd and short, and he's moving the ball up, much like his predecessor there, Isaac James.
From the pistol formation, Michael Vickdrup's going to put Jay Kerr, the new tight end, in motion. Gets the handoff. They go try to go up the middle with the new tailback in the ball game. He's going to lose himself about a yard. That one looked to be number 33. If that's the case, he's listed as Wade Jennison on the carry. So coming in with a lot of the reserves with 8 minutes remaining here in the fourth quarter. This is the 3rd different quarterback and the 6th different tailback lining up in the backfield for the Carmel Greyhounds this evening. Vickdrup looks to go back into the pistol formation, trips out to his left at the 49-yard line of Hamilton Southeastern. They're going to get a man to jump off sides. Vickdrup going with the hard count and is going to pick up the 1st down.
And folks, if you can kind of hear the excitement on me and Jesse's face, it's been so cool because, see, we get to cover these guys, and we've covered them for 2 years now. So while the varsity team was doing what they were doing last year, me and Jesse were getting to announce these guys, so we've grown up with them. Michael Vickdrup spends most of his days over at my house with my little brother, and so getting to see a lot of these players now on the field, it's kind of a proud moment. We get to see their development. Now they're getting varsity playing time in a sectional. That is just truly awesome. And again, a testament to the scoring of the Greyhounds tonight.
Same formation for Victor. He keeps it right tackle this time. Victor heads upfield, cuts back across the middle of the field. He has himself a first down, and Michael Victor showing off the wheels is going to be brought down at the 31-yard line.
And that's the speed of Michael Victor. People have been talking about him for years, and they're very excited for him next year and the years to come. He's a lot like a John Lampe and an Isaac James mix. Not only can he run it like James, but he can throw it like Lampe. Look to see him maybe get a shot to air it out here, and we get to check out that arm.
And Victor comes back out, same formation, trips out to his left from the right hash at the 31-yard line of Hamilton Southeastern. He looks over towards the sideline. Riley McDonough, the seventh running back to line up for the Carmel Greyhounds tonight in the backfield. Victor puts a man in motion this time. Fakes it. Now he's going to have to run away. A lot of miscommunication. Victor breaks the tackle, tries to head upfield. Actually ends up gaining about 5 yards on the carry. There was nobody. Looked to go and try to hand it off, but there was no tailback over to his left.
And so, again, obviously, Victor having to do a little improvisation there is able to almost beat out those defensive ends on that foot race there, able to make it out to that hash there. And going back to a guy named Riley McDonough who lined up as the tailback. I got to play alongside of him back at Clay Middle School. Broke his leg last year, was out for the season, took a big hit. But he's back in action here. Hasn't seen a lot of action, but he is sure a team player and just a really, really solid guy.
So again, here comes Victor, second and five with the 40-point lead. He puts her in motion, takes the snap, hands that one off to Jennison up the middle. Jennison storms across the 25-yard line, brought down at about the 24. So third and short coming up for the new-look Carmel Greyhound offense, a very young squad on the field right now. 6:40 remaining in the ballgame, 40-0 is your score in favor of the Carmel Greyhounds, trying to get some of these young guys some playing time. So Victor calling it at the line of scrimmage, comes back into pistol formation, trips out to his right this time as he's lined up off of the left hash. Victor looks over towards the sideline and looks like we are going to have ourselves a timeout this time by the Carmel Greyhounds. That stops the clock at 6:22 remaining in the ballgame. But Carmel really starting to go deep into the depth chart and showing off a lot of these guys that don't normally get playing time.
John Lampe not getting a lot of playing time this game so far. They kind of just skip over him, and they go ahead and throw in Michael Victor. Again, Jesse, if we can kind of talk about Victor and just a little bit about that junior varsity squad last year, I know we got to follow guys like Tobias Watkins. We got to follow guys like Michael Victor. Michael Victor's got a twin brother, Christian Victor, who plays receiver. And then he's got a brother who actually plays offensive line, Jacob Victor. Jacob Victor, only his second year of football. There's a lot of family heritage there, a lot of good football, good team, a great family as well, and they've all done such a nice job. But you got to credit just that depth chart. And, folks, you're really getting a picture into what it's like to play Carmel football. There's so much depth, and there's just so much talent. It's really cool to see them move up and dig into that.
Third down and three for the young Michael Victor. Same formation for him from the pistol. They put a man in motion. They're going to run the option. Victor decides to keep it, stays on his feet, tries to dance to the outside, still breaking tackles. He's going to be wrestled down at about the 28-yard line. So fourth down coming up for the Greyhounds. And this is kind of that weird field position where it's not really punt territory, but it's not really field goal territory. And while you have it, this might be a situation next year where these same guys are going to come back out onto the field. They're going to need a fourth down conversion in a sectional football game late in the game. So 5:50 remaining in the ball game. Victor up in the offense will stay out there. Four wide pistol set, three out to his left. From the 28-yard line of Hamilton Southeastern, Victor up looks over towards that sideline for additional signaling. Victor up goes back, takes the snap. He's looking to pass now, looking deep down the right side into the end zone, and that one's almost intercepted. Did not see the double coverage there. That one, Julius Hardy is going to be the one that tips that one away. So Michael Victor up gets his first postseason pass attempt off there. But now we're going to see the HSC offense come back onto the field with 5:28 remaining.
And that is another aspect to a young player. He comes out, you know, and Michael Victor's really been able to run it all over the field at the JV level, but varsity ball is much different. Again, you're getting a picture there. Victor taking the snap. He's looking at his receiver on the right side all the way, and that's something that he's going to have to learn, that he's got to look off these defensive backs. They're too talented for you to be able to just try to throw the ball to one guy. You got to be looking to the left side of the field, then hit it back right.
Janie comes back out on the field, two wide ace set. as he fakes the handoff. He's looking deep down the field over the middle, finds his man, and actually that one's going to be dropped. That looks like the tight end Hogan once again not able to corral that one in, and that was a perfect strike delivered there by Janie.
And that's just bad, in my opinion. That's just not being a good teammate right there. You know, mistakes are going to happen, but when you've got a great of a pass as Janie did on that one, that's just a nice bullet right to his receiver. You got to be able to make that catch. We've seen four or five drops so far tonight that would have resulted in first down. It would have resulted in the ball moving forward right there. Just a missed opportunity from the Royals.
Shotgun set here for Janie as they move a man in motion wide out, out to the right. Janie's going to try to keep this one. Goes up the middle, gains a couple yards initially. It was going to be pushed back at the line of scrimmage. So at the 28-yard line, we're going to have a third and 10. Clock continuing to tick here, approaching 5 minutes and counting. 40-0 remains your score in favor of the Carmel Greyhounds. We're going to get some substitutions in for the Carmel Greyhounds defense, including Logan Miller, the junior defensive back. We're also going to see the likes of the special teams hero Luke Parker coming in as well. So a lot of these guys, you might recognize their names, but starting to play their true positions. Shotgun set, empty backfield, five wide, three out to his right. For Janie, third and nine from his own 29. Janie, under pressure, is going to have to run this one up the middle. He's going to be wrapped up after about a gain of a couple yards. And let's see what they decide to do here. Joey Scott, a guy who started out the season as a tight end, has been moving over towards that defensive side of the ball. Had six solo tackles and six assists coming into this game.
Well, and I think, Jesse, that also speaks to, you got to look at the defense and really who they've become. You know, we're talking about guys like Jack Conway, who wasn't really expected to make as big of an impact as he has on the coverage team. Luke Parker, a guy who played in that actually worn game at that sectional last year, played a lot more, but hasn't really had the opportunity because some seniors have stepped up.
This one will be punted up and away. A pretty good punt going back into the area of Thomas Baldwin, who takes this one. Baldwin heading towards the sideline, and he's going to run out of bounds. 3:48 remaining in the ball game. And let's see what the Carmel Greyhounds decide to do here. They ran the ball quite well under the new look offense with a lot of these younger players coming out onto the field. Again, 3:48 remaining until they are off into the sectional championship. They're going to be close to their own 35-yard line. 3:48 again, 40-0 your score, and they will line up at their own 32-yard line. Let's see who comes out to play quarterback on this drive. It looks like it's going to be Victrup once again, so the sophomore is going to get another drive. So Victrup comes out, three wide, pistol set, two out to his left. Victrup takes the snap, makes the handoff, no one home, so he's going to have to run over towards the left side once again, trying to race to the sideline, heads up field now, and he's going to be brought down at about the 38-yard line, takes a pretty big shot on the sideline. But again, the miscommunication between quarterback and ball carrier, and it's still able to be a positive play, about a second down and five coming up for Michael Victrup in this offense.
And so you got to watch out here. Victrup has struggled with injuries off and on this season, you know, tweaking some his leg every once in a while, but he's done a good job to be able to bounce back from that and play very well. You wouldn't know it if you saw him run the ball and able to use those legs there again to power when the play didn't necessarily develop like he wanted it to, able to improvise.
Second down for Victrup. That one goes over his head, and they're going to have to race back, and Jennison jumps on top of it. He's going to be brought down at the 20-yard line. So going right over his head, Victrup really had nowhere to go with that one. That's going to bring up a third and long coming up. They're going to lose several yards, but we do have a penalty flag. Actually, 33 on this ball club is Jalen Walker. He is a freshman, folks. This is a freshman getting sectional playing time. Very impressive. We've seen him run. You've heard the broadcast on Saturday mornings here on WHJE. And Jalen Walker has really dominated on the ninth grade level. A very impressive runner. Be looking for this duo between Victrup and Walker for a couple of years to come. So Victrup looking over towards the sideline. So a couple penalties are going to line this one up. And it will be third down at about seven. After the defensive penalty, Victrup looking over towards that sideline. Clock continuing to tick away. And no one really in a hurry to get this play off. 2:28 and counting. Victrup has 4 seconds left on the play clock. Three wide pistol set. They try to go up to Walker, and this time Victrup is going to keep this one. And that's going to bring up fourth down and about eight for the Carmel Greyhounds.
I think one thing we're seeing here from Michael Victrup is just that lack of reps like we talk about. He's not getting the snaps of a varsity level, and we're seeing him struggle with that handoff there. And I think that's something that we take for granted from Isaac James. Isaac James is so good at selling that handoff, whether it's up to the gut with Shakir Pascal, and then he runs that option out to the left side, or he just keeps it for himself. Michael Victrup here has to learn how to be able to fake that and hide that handoff much better.
Let's see if he decides to go with Jalen Walker here as he's the lone tailback. Victrup will give that one off to Walker. Walker trying to dance his way out of the backfield. He's going to be brought down at the 30-yard line. Turnover on downs for the Carmel Greyhounds. I want to give credit where credit is due. Jalen Walker did have a few very impressive carries there here late in the ball game. Folks, keep in mind, Jalen Walker, only a freshman, has three more years in this program, and he's already getting carries in a sectional football game.
Well, look at a guy like Michael Victrup as well, you know, or a guy, different players who are actually coming in. You know, I know there's been some line substitutions as well. Some of these younger guys that are getting some playing time, you know, although play falls apart and it doesn't seem like the offense is moving the ball downfield, it's valuable when they're getting to actually get some of that playing time.
And a new quarterback here for Hamilton Southeastern is going to hand that one off to Crockham. And the new quarterback will be Carter Pori. So Pori coming in, replacing Janey as the quarterback for the first time, getting him some playing time before the end of this one. A minute 19 remaining in the ball game. Clock continues to tick away, 40-0. Carmel Greyhounds have dominated this one so far. And Crockham's going to get the carry once again, trying to get his way into the 10-yard line. He has himself a first down and a lot more. So trying to avoid the shutout here in the sectional football game with a minute 5 remaining. And Pori comes in running the option quite well with a couple of the starting tailbacks of Hamilton Southeastern. Checking back in will be Aaron Matteo. And this is the first time we've really said Matteo's name since the first quarter. So coming back in the I formation, he receives it off that right side, trying to dance his way to the sideline. He's going to be pushed out of bounds after about a gain of 5. So refusing to give up until the final whistle is blown here. 48 seconds remaining.
Again, credit Luke Parker coming in there from the coverage, able to read that run out to the right side. Again, Matteo trying to cut it up on the perimeter, trying to get in for the score and hit that first nylon.
Will be second and goal off the right hash. They go strong I formation this time. Gives that one back up to Matteo. Matteo tries to go into the end zone. He has himself a touchdown, and that makes it 6-40. That's got to be a great feeling for this offense, and Matteo coming in and finally getting to put some points on the board.
And so, again, you know, it's not a tie ball game. It's not anything close, but at least you're putting points on the board. At least you're able to kind of hold your head up and say, you know what we did? We were able to kind of work up a drive together and make some things happen. So avoiding that shutout, again, you don't want to see the 40-0 in the paper the next day. So a 40-6, and again, now HSC trying to tack on that extra point.
Will be John Dye on the hold here, trying to put 7 points on the board. The kick is up. And the kick is good, a very impressive kick. We haven't gotten to see their kicker so far tonight, but he does have a very impressive leg.
And again, number 99, Brady Hoffman so far this year. Hoffman, again, has pretty much all he's done tonight is kick off the ball. So many turnovers here.
So 43 seconds remaining in the ball game. Going to kick this one away. Carmel looks to be coming away with the victory in this one. Again, 40-7 with 43 seconds remaining. And we're going to get to see Hoffman kick this one off and see if he tries to kick this one into the end zone one last time before the end of the season. With an eye towards next week, you got to like what you're seeing, especially from the Carmel Greyhound defense.
And it is surreal as well, Jesse, as a senior, thinking about, you know, we're ending the end of our high school career, and a lot of these HSC Royals, this is it for them. As athletes, some of them will never go on to play college sports. I know it sounds pretty bleak, and, you know, they'll get to coach Little League or something in the future. But, hey, but at the same time, it is kind of a remorseful feeling. It's different. You're really staring. You're kind of an end of a chapter in your life, really, in the eye. And sports are really a lot of these guys' lives. And so to say that this is it, and these are the last 43 seconds of your high school career, it can be very humbling and put things in perspective.
You look at some of the seniors on this Hamilton Southeastern team. Hunter Hardy, who had an excellent season, 851 yards on the ground, average close to 6 yards a carry. You also have to look at the likes of Crockham. He had 563 yards, average over 7.5. And that one is actually going to be an onside kick recovered by Hamilton Southeastern. So they're going to get one more chance on the offensive side of the ball. But you look at the Southeastern team, they have a lot of their parts coming back. They're going to have Janie coming back. They're going to have Ford. They're going to have a lot of these guys, especially on the defensive side, they're going to be coming back.
So they're actually going to redo the kick there. It bounced off of a Greyhound and apparently didn't go 10 yards. So with 43 seconds, we're going to retry this one. It looked actually to be a squib kick. Just hit, again, one of those front lines of the Greyhounds here. So, again, folks, 42-7 here in favor of the Greyhounds. The Greyhounds come into HSC and put a rout on the Royals. Definitely not what we expected here, but it looks like the Greyhounds are going to get one more kick return.
This one is going to bounce over at about the 50-yard line. Noah Burks is going to catch that one at about his own 49. That one looks to be about the end of it. 42 seconds, and the Carmel Greyhound offense will trot back onto the field, potentially going into that victory formation.
So we'll see who they bring on the field here, if they bring in Isaac James to finish what he started, or if they keep the sophomore Michael Victor on the field and let him go ahead and end this ball game. Either way, 42 seconds left. It's either going to be a run or they're going to come out, like you said, in that victory formation. We've seen them come out in so many times before. Carmel, a very... very sportsmanlike team. They're very aware, not trying to run up the score with only 42 seconds remaining, not taking any of those NCAA shots down the field like we're used to playing.
No.
It's a lot different from than playing on the couch.
Yeah, see, people don't bite back, and so here's that first, Neil.
That one will be the first one. They will potentially have to do one more before the end of it. Nonetheless,
it's funny, Jesse, when as sports guys, sometimes we find ourselves in the NCAA matches, and nowadays they've wired it so that if you bomb it deep in the fourth quarter, if time's running out, you get like points taken away here. So, well, the Greyhounds electing to do what many of us don't do in our basements playing Xbox. They are very sportsmanlike. Take the knee. The clock is going to run out here. Again, final score 40-7 in favor of the Greyhounds. They walk in here. So the Greyhounds will now advance. They've got another shot. They move past this sectional. Again, they were stopped last year by Warren Central, but the Greyhounds and a big-time senior team are going to move on again. So, folks, thank you for tuning into this broadcast of WHGA Varsity Football. For Jesse Smith, I'm John Perkins. Be sure to check us out for more football action. It's not over yet. You're listening to 91.3 WHGA, the voice of the Greyhounds.